for the privilege. Thank you very much for this great privilege to stand before you this evening to speak about the Word of God. Amen. So I'm very thankful to God that He brought me here, Pastor, in your country. This is my first time coming in Australia. I was so surprised. There's a lot of food here to eat. When I arrived here, I become skinny, but now I'm getting I'm becoming fat right now, little by little, but I eat well and eat a lot. So thank you very much for this privilege of bringing to you the message from the Word of God. You know, one of my passion as a man who was called by God to full-time ministry is to preach His Word. You know, if you will not give me opportunity to preach even in one Sunday, I feel there's something lacking in my life. You know, like Jeremiah, he said that the Word of God is like a fire. What he said in that verse, that if you will not speak about it, it's like an explosive, that he will explode, right? But you know, we have a message in our heart that we want to tell you from the Word of God. So without much ado, because I have a time, but Pastor told me that I need to say something about our ministry. By the way, I am a pastor of Living Bread Baptist Church back in the Philippines, that is in Cainta, Rizal, that's in Metro Manila, that's in the northern part of the Philippines, that is in Luzon, okay? Because our country has three divisions, big islands. The three big islands is Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao. So my work there is, I am a church planter. I already started a church there also in Cainta, but that's about 3 kilometers from the place where I am now. That's in Baligolf. I started that in 1994 when I graduated in seminary. I graduated in Baptist Bible Seminary Institute 1990. I was ordained in 1995, and before I was ordained, I already started churches, Pastor. I started work in Baligolf, Cainta, way back 1990. That is Baligolf Baptist Church. Now they have already, I think, they have 100 more members. And also, from time to time, I'm not just working in a church planting work. Alternately, I go to pastoral ministry. 1990, I had my church planting work. 1992, I accepted the call from an organized church already, the Teresa Fundamental Baptist Church. Then at 1994, when I resigned to that church, I started again another church planting work. 1995, Pastor. I just go knock on doors, house to house already. And I was able to lead a Bible study, and after 3 months, I was able to baptize 10 persons. And we started our first worship service. After 1 year, we have already 25 baptized converts, and we are recognized as a mission church. And in 1983, we organized it as Living Bread Baptist Church. That's the church that I'm holding right now. By the way, I have only one wife. Only one wife. And only one daughter. Without much ado, I'd like to invite you to please open your Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 in verse 7. And from time to time, we'll go to the book of Genesis, because that's where our text comes from. So may I invite everyone, to please stand as we reverend the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, verse 7. Before we pray, let's read this together. Hebrews 11, 7, the Bible says, together, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, as yet moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by that which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I'd like to speak the subject about the type of person God uses. The type of person God uses. Let's pause for a moment in prayer. Ask the Lord to guide us as we listen to His word. Father God in heaven, we would like to commit to you the preaching of thy words. May the Holy Spirit empower your servant, O God, and may they see Jesus in me. As I speak your words, O God, may the name of Christ be known, be magnified, and be glorified. Lord, we pray, my only motive and interest is that I may deliver your words with clarity, that your people will be blessed. Lord, bless your words to us tonight. And may you implant your message in the hearts of every one of us here tonight. Thank you for this privilege of being here and being in the church of God. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being one of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. The question I have for you this evening is this. Why did God choose Noah? Why did God choose Noah? You know, when God destroyed the world with flood, according to archaeologists, it tells us that there were approximately 1 million people living at the time. Okay? So Noah was really one in a million. Right? So the question is, why did God choose Noah? Imagine, if you were God, what kind of person would you choose to start the human race all over again? You know what happened during the flood, right? That is a catastrophe. What we call it, a diluvian, that was the God judged the sin of the people during the time. Because according to the book of Genesis, there were the imagination of their hearts were only evil continually. The question is, why did God choose Noah? What kind of person would, if you are God, what kind of person you would choose to start the human race all over again, right? Who would you choose if you were God? If God were to make the decision again, to destroy the world and start over, would God choose you? So, that makes me uneasy. Okay? Why did God choose Noah? The Bible says in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 16, verse 9. Let's open our Bible to that to that passage. In 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, that he may show himself strong in behalf of those, and this is the key, this is the reason why God chose Noah, whose heart is perfect toward him. You know, God looks at your heart. Amen? God looks at your heart. There's also verse, I think that's in the book of Ezekiel, where the Bible says that God is looking for a man who will preach the gospel. You know that verse? I forgot that the passage after. But really, God looks on the heart. Amen? Amen. That looks on appearance. If that will be the case, I am disqualified. Yeah. Because in the Old Testament, you need to be not blemished, not without spot. You must be tall when you go to the temple, right, Pastor? But I'm only 5'3", right? I'm 5'2", anyhow. I'm not qualified. You know, but God looks on the heart. Praise God, He looks on the heart, not on the appearance. Amen? But it seems I'm not a good-looking person, but I'm not ugly, right? Anyway, my wife just made the mistake that he... Okay. Anyway, the story of Noah, by the way, is in the book of Genesis, the very first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 7, chapter 8, chapter 9. Okay? That's the story about the flood. I know kids know, they know it very well, right? The Bible stories about Noah. You know, when God destroyed the earth, the characteristic of the flood, by the way, is both atmospheric. It comes from the heavens, right? There is a water canopy before in heaven. That explains the longevity of life, right? And there is and also the fountains of the deep was broken, right? So the both atmospheric and tidal came from under the earth and also above, right? So, you know, the first characteristic we find why God chose Noah is in chapter 6 of Genesis, verse 5. May I invite you to please look for yourself, amen? And let's read together Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and following. What does the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5 and following? The Bible says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I had created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. You see what's the word here? Very emphatic, repented. No? That God changed his mind and he repented when he made the earth, because the people are sinful, right? In verse 8, but Noah found grace. Take note, Noah. But Noah found grace. Found grace. Okay? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You know, God looked down and he found one man that he was going to use. And the question is, why did God use Noah? I believe this is the reason why. Number one, it's very pretty obvious that Noah was available. Amen? Noah was available. You know, the fact is, here's the entire population, but God can only find one available person. Now, in God's eyes, brothers and sisters, availability is much more important than ability. No, listen to that. Availability is much more important than ability. You know, your attitude is much more important than your aptitude. Right? Your attitude is much more important than your aptitude. You know, most of us use our aptitude as an excuse. Okay? Maybe we are saying, oh, I can't do that. God could never use me. Many times that's our reason, right? You know, it simply means being not available. You know why God used Noah? Because he was available. Amen? Are you available for God to use you? Amen? You know, when I was pastoring a little island in Batangas, back in the Philippines, most of the members and the people there became their bywords is the name Brother Leo. Brother Leo. When I asked them, who won you to Christ? They said, Brother Leo. Who led you to Christ? He said, Brother Leo. Who shared you the gospel? Just one thing, right? Brother Leo, how did you come to know Jesus, your Savior? They're by words or talk of the town, the words, the name Brother Leo. Brother Leo. You know, 80% or so of the church, of the members of the church where I pastored before, way back 1983. That's my first pastor, Greg Lacklack Baptist Church. 80% of the membership there was came to know Christ because of this man, Brother Leo. Okay? You know, the 80% of the people near the church location knew who was Brother Leo. You know, both the members and their neighbors knew about who is Brother Leo. By the way, who is Brother Leo? Brother Leo is our janitor in our church, back in Las Piñas Baptist Church. He was not even graduated from elementary, pastor. He is a bald-headed guy with an ugly face without front teeth. Can you imagine that? Without front teeth. Okay? He's an uneducated, not attractive physically, with low IQ. He cannot even speak English. I'm so privileged that I can speak English, right? Because God has given me this attitude to speak. I cannot speak long English, Pastor. I've only reserved 15 minutes English. And I'm running out of English. Because my mind is always translating Tagalog English. Maybe I can forget the term or the dictionaries of my English in my mind, so that I can run out of English. But it's good I can manuscript my message so that I cannot forget it. But by the way, your pastor just gave me 20 minutes, Pastor. 20 minutes. I don't know if I can I can comply to that, Pastor, because I have a hard time to translate my Tagalog in my mind, to translate it in English. You know what I mean? Anyway, there is a saying, and I will not forget that, Pastor. Just don't worry. I will not forget that saying. Blessed are the man who preach short, for he shall be invited again. So that when I come back, Pastor, I can preach again in your church. Anyway, that Noah was available, that way God just used him. You know, no matter what people may say, you know, Galileo is not ashamed to proclaim his Savior. Amen? He's very vocal. He's very bold to speak about Jesus. Somebody will say, maybe you will say, how come God doesn't do that to me? How come I don't have those exciting experiences? But, you know, it's very exciting to win people to Christ, right? It's very exciting. You know, it's hard to win people to Christ. But this man, 80% of the members where I pastored the church back in the Philippines, he won them to Christ. 80%. Imagine that. You know, why does God use you like that? And Brother Lay will tell you, if you will make your life available, God will hear you, right? If you will make your life available. You know, it's simply being available. If you will be available and stop focusing on what you can do, let God decide what you can do. Amen? You just get available. I think that when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed at the people God uses. They're not superstars. Amen? They're not super gifted. They're not super talented people. They're ordinary people with poles and hang-ups and fears. They're not necessarily brilliant people. They are an average intelligence. They are simply available. And Noah was available. Amen? You know, in seminar, I have a lot of classmates, Pastor, who is very good in academics. They have mastered Greeks, because in seminary we have Greek subjects from second year to fifth year. They are really good in Greek, but me, I cannot remember my Greek anymore. That's the alphabet. I remember the alphabet, but the functions of the Greek grammar, the syntax, etc., what they call it, I don't know that. I just concentrate on my Bible. Amen. Even though I speak in Greek, you may not understand me, right? I even speak to you in Tagalog, so you can understand a little. But if I speak in Greek, but these people are not in the ministry, Pastor. I cannot boast my grace. My grace is not very high. Anyway. I just make myself available. Amen. Since you. Amen. You make yourself available. That's why I have a song here. It says, available. Available for God to use you. Amen. Available if God should choose you. What's the song with you? Would it be here or there? It doesn't matter where. My waiting heart, but that's a special number. As in my earnest prayer, I declare I'm available for God to use me. Even though you not request me to sing, I sing. Available if God should choose me. Would it be now or then? It doesn't matter when. I want to see those men be born again. Are you available? You know why God used Noah? Because he's available. Amen? He's available. Not only that, in verse 9 of Genesis, you notice, again in verse 9, let's look at that in chapter 6 and verse 9. The Bible says, Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, back to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, it says that, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Take note, just man and perfect in his generation. For all people in that time, only Noah is a different man. Amen? You know, he is a just man in his generation. Just imagine Australia today. Okay, there's a lot of, I don't know here, but in our country, there's a lot of prostitution. There's a lot of corruption in the government. I'm ashamed to tell you that, but that's true. You know, but Noah made a difference. Amen? You know, God uses people who dare to be different. Who dare to be different. You know, underline the word, he was just man and perfect in his generation. You know, morally, Noah was a man of deep convictions. He dared to be different. He was not afraid to stand out. He was not afraid to conform he was not afraid to stand alone. Amen? He was not afraid of what other people thought. He was not his help to win a popularity contest. That's why there is a verse in the book of Thessalonians, I think. That's my life verse. 1 Thessalonians 2:4. As we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, so speak not in the words which men's not a pleasing man, but of God who tryeth our hearts. Amen. You know, if I would just look on your face, I will be melted with fear and tremble, because I'm not used to speak like the congregation like this. Full of American or Australian. Sorry. So, you know, I always speak Tagalog. That's why I cannot speak well in English. So, but, you know, I'm just not looking at you. I'm just looking to my Savior. I don't want to please anybody here, but I want to please my Savior. That's why I can stand up to you boldly, speaking the words of God. Amen? So what a privilege to be in your front and speaking about the message of God. You know, he was not afraid, he was not to win a popularity contest. At this point in the world history, you know, the society during that time was morally bankrupt. Morally bankrupt. Look at verse 11 to 12 of Genesis chapter 6. 11 to 12 says, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Take note. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. Okay? Yet Noah was not influenced by all of those things. In spite of the fact that he lived in a terrible society, it says he was blameless among the people of his time. He was not afraid to stand alone. He was not afraid to stand alone. You know, in the world today, we have a tendency to think that the majority is always right. You know, when the people's power in our country wonder, the bet, President Cory Aquino, people power, remember that, 1986. Our former president, Madam Cory Aquino, said this statement. He said, the voice of the people are the voice of God. It's the voice of God. Is that true? I don't think so. You know, if everybody's doing it, that is our concept many times. It must be okay. If it is popular, then it must be good. But you know, Noah refused to go with majority. The majority is often wrong. Amen? Right. Noah says one plus God equals a majority. And that's the way he looked at life. Okay? That's the way he looked at life. If you remember Elijah, he just made a contest in Mount. What Mount is that? Mount Carmel. Yeah, 450 prophets of Baal. He's alone. Amen. But he defeated these 450 of Baal. Okay. So think about the criticism that Noah probably received. Building the ark, the ridicule from neighbors. You know, they say that Noah is out of mind. Okay? There's an old man, Noah, out there being a boat. They just whispering behind his back and laughing at him. Okay? So, you know, it's happened for a long time. Then all of a sudden, he probably got pressure from his family, maybe. How would you like to be Noah's kid? You go to school, and the people there say, what should daddy do? He's an ark builder, right? Maybe you can, his children told to their dad, Dad, that boat on the front lawn is embarrassing. Why can't you get a normal job? That's why they say. You know, these doomsday talk it all over the town. He probably got a lot of critics, not only from his friends, but also in his own family. But he made there to be a different. Amen? Would you put up being misunderstood and criticized year after year because of your convictions? Because you're doing what's right? Okay? You know, conformity is open enemy of Christianity. That's true. Yes? Yes? Conformity is open the enemy of Christianity. In our country, in the Philippines, we are so privileged that we don't have to worry about being persecuted. Nobody's going to come to our door and knock it down and haul you up to jail. No, but we get worried just about being different. We want to blend it. We want to be different, right? So Noah was not afraid to stand alone. While everybody else was going to leave for the world, he said, I will not participate to those kinds of things. He was blameless among the people at that time. You know, the book of Proverbs says this, the fear of man is a snare. Right? The fear of man is there. That means if you worry about what other people think, you're in trouble. If you worry about how do I look, you can never live for God. If you worry about what does everybody think, you are in trouble. Noah was available and he was willing to be different. Amen? He was willing to stand out in the crowd and he had conviction. He had conviction. Amen? What gave him the confidence to be different for so many years? Can you think of that? What gave him the confidence to be different for so many years? Look at verse 9 of chapter 6. This is gave him the confidence. In verse 9 it says, he walked with God. The last phrase, he walked with God. He had fellowship with God. Amen? He had a relationship with God and that gave him the strength to say, I don't care what anybody else does, I'm going to do what I think is right. Amen? And that's the kind of person God can use. It's not always out taking an opinion poll, what do you think I should do? You know, Noah make that stand. Amen? He's a man of conviction. The third characteristic in Noah's life, why did God choose Noah? I believe that is also in verse 22 of chapter 6. That did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. You know why God used Noah? Because God uses people who follow him completely. There is a verse in the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 4, verse 23. It says there that the law is like a lamp, and the commandments is a light, and reproof and instruction is the way of life. You see? So Noah obeyed God completely. You know, God uses people who follow him completely. Obey first before you complain. Noah always obeyed, never complained. That's the right attitude as a Christian, right? Always obey God. Abraham obeyed God even though he doesn't know where. Abraham obeyed God even though he doesn't know how. Abraham believed and obeyed God even though he doesn't know when and he doesn't know why. God ordered Abraham to sacrifice his only son. He did not ask the Lord why, but he obeyed, right? Amen. That's the kind of faith that God honors. Amen? God uses people who follow him completely. You know, obedience is simply another word of faith. That's what we can notice. Amen? You say, I've got a lot of faith. How much do you obey God without question? You may say, I have a lot of faith. How much you obey God without questions? That takes faith. Amen? Faith is following instruction even when it doesn't make sense. Right? The project God gave Noah didn't make sense. Didn't make sense. It didn't make sense for several reasons. First, do you know that the Bible says that until the time of the flood, it had never rained on earth? According to Genesis chapter 2, it says that the way the earth was watered was a mist came from the ground, kind of like dew in the morning. You see? The whole atmosphere was different because it had never rained. Some scientists explain that's probably why they lived longer in those days. Okay? In the Old Testament, before the flood, people lived several hundred years sometimes. You know, Noah died around 900 years. The oldest man ever lived is Methuselah, right? He died 969 years. Noah died around 920-something, 930. So, the flood came to earth when he was 600 years. Okay, how old is he at the time? Okay, so the lifespan was shortened after the flood, you know. That's why the first time Noah and his family saw a rainbow, it blew their minds. Nobody had ever seen a rainbow before, right? But that is God's covenant promise that he will not destroy any more the earth with the flood. Amen? Number two is not only had it never rained, but Noah was at least 500 miles from the largest body of water. They call it the Mediterranean Ocean. How is he going to get it 500 miles across the land? That didn't make sense, right? That didn't make sense. You know, but the greatest thing was how in the world was God is going to round up all the animals, right? That's absurd, right? Only God could do something like that. How do you explain that? I cannot explain that. But if God can create the world, he can round up animals. He can do whatever he wants to do. The thing about Noah, brothers and sisters, he didn't argue. He didn't complain. He didn't explain it away. He just said, okay, Lord, whatever you say, he just had this attitude. Okay, you're right. You're right. Okay, he obeyed following letters. You're right. Okay, you know, one of the real tests of faith in life is how do I follow God's will? How do I follow God's will? Do I follow his instruction even when they don't make sense? Do you follow God's instruction even when they don't make sense? Do I follow his instruction even when I don't understand it? Okay? You know, that's how God used Noah. Noah was available. Noah dared to be different. And Noah followed God completely. And that's why God could use him. Another thing that Noah, God used Noah because God used Noah because of this verse. In Genesis chapter 6 verse 3, the Bible says that God delayed the flood for a period of time. Then God said, my spirit shall not always strive with men. You know, he's saying that there is a limit to God's patience. Okay? There's a limit to what he put up with from mankind. There is a time limit of what he will take from a disobedient human race. He said, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for that he is also blessed. Yet his day shall be 120 years. This is saying that after the decision was made to destroy the world by a flood, God waited another 120 years. I believe there is a connection of the age factor of Methuselah that the God delayed his judgment to earth. He just waited that Methuselah died first. And he also waited Noah to build the ark. Just imagine 120 years building the ark. You just built the ark for all your lifetime. I'm only 46 years old. But that time Noah is just starting the second floor of the flood, yeah? 120 years pastor. He didn't preach by lips, he preached by his life, pastor. Because while he's hammering the wood and the etc. You see how he is a testimony. He believed that what God says, I believe it, and he settled it, right? So, here's the question. If you want to be used by God, could you maintain enthusiasm for a project that took that long years to complete? Right? You know, God uses people who never give up. No one never give up. I believe Isaiah preached for 40 years. I don't know, Pastor, no, if there's someone who believes. Because according to his report, who has believed us, and to whom is the arm of the Lord being revealed, right? He was, he said, he's so patient to preach that long years, nobody believed him. Jeremiah also lamented. That's why there is a book of the Bible, Lamentation. Because no one believed him for how many years he preached it. But here, Noah, more than that, it's double or triple. But these 120 years, he preached with his life. Okay, he was being ridiculed, etc., persecuted. Because he made a difference, you know, when we make a difference, we will be persecuted. Amen? This word is out to rebel against the will of God. Amen? And we are here to just live for the Lord. Amen? Can you imagine Mrs. Noah? Noah comes home from work one night and sits down to beat sprouts or something. Mrs. Noah says, "How was work today, honey?" Noah will respond, "Same as usual. Same place, same thing, boring." I just bet there were many days that Noah hated to look at that ark. I bet there were weeks that he wanted to say, "I don't want to work on the ark anymore. I'm tired. I've done my duty. I want to get out of bed today. I don't feel like it." But it's the example of persistence. Amen? Day in, day out, building, nailing, papering, whatever, for 120 years, I'm sure he thought, "I've worked on this thing for 50 years. Let somebody else take over. I've done my share." No one ever gave up. No one ever gave up. One of the reasons why God does not use many people is because we give up too soon. There are three things that will tempt us to give up. Number one, problems. Problem will tempt you to give up on God's plan for your life, right? So consider some of the problems. Can you imagine how do you separate the animals in the ark that like to eat each other? You see, if you will put the birds beside the worms, so the birds will eat the worms, right? So obviously you don't put the bobcats next to rabbits, right? You don't put the birds next to worms. You got to keep them all separate. That's a problem. That's what God's problem, by the way. Amen. You know, my problem in my church, Pastor, for how many years we're still 30 people or 20 people or 10 people, 15 years. 15 years, 15 people. So I always say to our members before when we just starting, we are just few people, around 15, 20, 30, something like that. But I told them, that's God's problem, not us. Amen. Our problem, our responsibility is to do the command of God. We are witnesses of Christ. Amen. Both in Jerusalem, in Judea. That's why we also support foreign missionaries and local missionaries. Even though our church is still small, Pastor, we just support the missionaries. We want our people to be mission-minded. And we always teach them how to go to soul winning. We have Operation Go trainings and something like that. Anyway, so that is the problem. The people, you know, that thing will make us tempt to give up. Problems and also pressures. Pressures will tempt you to give up, you know, before you accomplish your goal. I'm sure no one must have thought this is too big for me. This is too great of a responsibility. All the weight of the world on one man. It's too much responsibility. Maybe he said, "God, I cannot handle it." So, but the, you know, pressures will tempt you to give up. Not only that, people will tempt you to give up. You know, there is a saying, if you have 100 people in your church, Pastor, you have 100 problems, right? If you have 100 people in your church, you have 100 problems. People will disappoint you. People will misunderstand you. People will criticize you. People will let you down. And that will tempt you to give up. God used Noah because he was a man of commitment. He never, never gave up. Amen? Every day Noah preached a sermon. He didn't stand up in a church behind a podium and give a speech. He preached a sermon. The most effective kind of sermon is with his life. Every day as he nailed those nails and built those boards and bent everything into shape, he was saying to the world, I believe in God. That's why he stood up. And that is for 120 years. Because the patience of Noah. Amen. Moses is the well-known most patient people in the Bible, Pastor. But I think it's Noah. Noah is the most patient people. What has God been doing in our life lately? I'm not talking about last year. I mean last week or last month. When was the time you had an answered prayer? When was the time God used you in an exciting way to help somebody? Most of them are not as dramatic as I told you a story about Brother Leo. But God will use you if you will get usable. Amen? Would you like to be used by God? That's where you find fulfillment in life. That's where you find satisfaction. That's where you find the expertise for which we were created. Amen? You don't find it in this other thing. You find it in finding God's purpose and plan, being in the center of it. So in closing, may I ask you this thing? How do I get usable? How do I get usable? First of all, you make yourself available. Amen? Secondly, you must dare to be different. Amen? Number three, you commit yourself to God's plan, to follow it even when you don't understand it. Amen? You know, and number four, you never give up. Make a commitment. Amen. That's how God will make you usable. Amen? In conclusion, it's already 7, Pastor. That you give me just 2 minutes more, okay? In conclusion, there's an epilogue of Noah's life. I like it. I like this epilogue about Noah's life. In Genesis chapter 9, I hate that it's in the Bible, you know. I wish it was not there, because it puts a downer, a story of Noah. The Bible says that here was this man who lived blameless all of his life. Okay? The only godly man in all the world, that he had faith, persistence, availability, and all these great things that God says about him. Noah built the ark, and after the flood, when the land dried out, it says he built a vineyard and fermented the grapes. You know what happened? Noah got drunk, took off all his clothes, and made a pool of himself. Right? He got drunk and he got naked. Why? He had a spotless record, and then at the end of his life, he blew it. He blew it. Why? You know, the thing is about the Bible. The Bible never glosses over those kinds of things. One of the reasons why I believe this is a supernatural book, not simply written by man, is because if it were written by man, you would only hear the good thing about the heroes, right? But why is it in the Bible? You know, because the Bible tells the truth even when it hurts. Okay? The Bible says that while Moses was a great man, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. He also murdered a man. Right? And the Bible says that David, who wrote the Psalms, also committed adultery. You know that? He was a man after God's own heart. It lays it on the line. It's right up front. It says, this guy blew it. Right? And Noah, who lived perfect when everybody else was blowing it, he blows it. And that's the kind of downer. Right? But on the other hand, I think it's encouragement too. It goes back to the thesis of this whole series that God uses ordinary people. Amen? If Noah had never had anything wrong in his life, we'd say he's too perfect. I could never be a Noah. The fact is Noah was imperfect. He was human. He blew it, right? He had a problem. He made a fool of himself. But in spite of that, God still put him in the hall of fame in the Hebrew, in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, that's the kind of God I worship. The kind of God who, although he does not compromise on sin, he is a compassionate God and he is a forgiving God. He says, you can start over again. I don't care how many times you've blown it, God can still use you in the rest of your life. I don't care what mistake you've made. I don't care how many times you've fallen flat on your face. You're not a failure just to fall. You're a failure if you refuse to get up. Amen? Maybe you have a divorce. Maybe you had a moral problem. Maybe you had a bad habit that you cannot kick. Maybe you're still dealing with it. Maybe you had some fear, some insecurities. Maybe you got a temper. Maybe you have a problem with jealousy. Maybe you feel inferior. You don't like the way you look. I don't care what your hang up is. Everybody has at least one. Amen. But that does not disqualify you from being used by God. If God only used perfect people, who will get used? God used ordinary people. Amen. Ordinary people, God uses. Ordinary people. He uses people just like me and you who are willing to do what he commands. Amen? God uses people. I forgot. Anyway, that's all for now. I believe God has spoken to our hearts, and whatever God wants us to do with his message, Pastor will just have his turn to invite us to come to Jesus. Amen, Pastor. Thank you very much.